This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
I'm Mackenzie Caudles with the Shoals Economic Development Authority, where I do marketing communications for them.
Cool. And you have a specialty right now, kind of semi-post-COVID, and it's called Remote Shoals. Tell us about that program. I first learned about it when I was here in December, and I was so fascinated that you guys were reaching out to the world to come and live in Florence.
Yeah. So we actually started the program back in June of 2019. So it was actually a pre-pandemic program where we had kind of focused on the tech field and wanted to pull in some jobs and some companies from there. And we found that a lot of the tech fields and tech companies have a lot of these remote workers, and they don't, you know, come into the office. They just work from home and they work from wherever.
So it was kind of perfect storm that pre-pandemic, you guys were already going there, where that model went viral during the midst of the pandemic.
Yeah, it went viral, like you said. It was overnight, you know, all these people had to go remote because they didn't have another option. And we had about 10 people living here. Some of them were still, we had chosen our first year. Some of them were still en route, got a little bit delayed by COVID. They didn't want to move in the middle, and we completely understood that. So we had a few people here, so we kind of leaned on them and said, hey, how do you work from home? And let's do a little bit of a marketing pieces on that to let people know the best practices for working at home. So program saw a ginormous increase in applications and everything since that pandemic happened.
So what you did in the midst of the pandemic, you offered people $10,000 to move here if they settled and did their remote work, and as I remember, generated at least $50,000 in income.
Yeah, it's $52,000 is the minimum, and the only requirement is that be remote, fully remote, able to work in the Shoals, and that's actually for our two counties, Lauderdale and Colbert. So that's the only location requirements. So it's up to $10,000 for someone to move here and enjoy the community and work from here.
Is it working? Is that I heard you had a backlog of people wanting to come here.
We do. It is working. We have, the best way to describe application increase is to say that for the whole year of 2020, we have now had more applications in the first now, you know, five, almost 6 months of 2021. We've had more applications now than we did in the whole year of 2020. So even, you know, we increased dramatically from year one in 2020, and then it's only continued to increase. We're really seeing that the pandemic, of course, allowed people to now, you know, live where, you know, work where they live instead of living where they work. And a lot of people are making that decision. So they're looking at new places, and the Shoals happens to be one of them.
And so the majority are literally full-time moving here. It's not a temporary.
For the program, it has to be a full-time move. And the craziest story, in my opinion, but also one of the biggest leaps of faith and the, you know, most impactful story right now is we had a family of seven, so husband and wife and five kids and two dogs, moved from Portland, Oregon. So they actually moved sight unseen. They had never been to our community. They're a fantastic family. We talked to them probably back in November-ish, around that time, and they had kind of planned, you know, the kids were doing remote school, they were doing online school, but they kind of thought about, well, we'll just wait till the summer, we'll just kind of, you know, let them finish out their year here, and then, you know, make it kind of a slow move. People just have to move in 6 months. So that worked for us. We were like, that made, okay, whatever you guys need to do. Next thing we knew, we got an email from them and they had found the perfect house, and, you know, housing market was starting to get a little bit crazy. So they jumped on it. A local real estate agent did a fantastic job. They did virtual tours for them. They bought a house sight unseen too. So they packed up and literally moved across the country, probably almost as far as you can get. So that's been our biggest story, but they've been here for probably almost 2 or 3 months now, and they are absolutely loving it, loving the change, loving the slower pace of life. And of course it's a big change from Portland, but
different planet.
It really is. I think the biggest change was the weather for a little bit, because they moved right in our tornado season. And, you know, we're very blessed around here that we, you know, have the sirens and we have a few warnings, and, you know, it's just part of it. But, you know, we're very blessed where we don't have a ton of touchdowns and that kind of stuff.
I was going to say, you're not in the alley.
Yeah, we're really not in the alley. It's really right, kind of right south of us. And, yeah, so they moved, but they came right when we had a few sirens and stuff. They had never experienced it, so they're thinking, what do I do? Do I take shelter? When do I take shelter? When do I not?
Right. And the locals are just ignoring it.
Yeah, the locals are, like, driving, and they're like, oh, this siren's going off. It's fine, you know. But that's what we kind of rubbed off the local on them a little bit to say, you know, hey, it's okay. This is, you know, let them a little bit know of what a radar is and, you know, exactly this is the point, and if that's heading towards you, then maybe you should take shelter.
That's really interesting. So in the broad scope of the program, the hope is, one, to kind of revitalize the community real estate sales, but probably more important is those who are going to bring businesses that are going to hire the locals, so you can retain the young people with opportunities. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the goals of our program were so multifaceted. There are so many reasons that we started this, and reasons that we didn't even know that have come up since. We're like, wow, that's a great benefit.
Give us some of the unforeseen benefits.
Yeah, so one of the unforeseen ones is something that I think that we had thought about. You know, we thought this is but just what you're talking about, the impact of people on the community. You know, the people that we're bringing in, I'm biased, but they're fantastic. And they're some
of the real dynamic, creative.
Yes, and they're bringing in their families, and, you know, a ton of them have music backgrounds. So then now they're plugging into our music scene, and they're, you know, connecting there, and they're doing great things there. We have people that are, you know, they have kids, and the kids are in school, and the kids are doing great. And just I think that for myself personally, when I got involved in this, and, you know, you think of the return. So I'm sitting here thinking, you know, when I can get our return on investment to this number, and when I can get this to this, and the number to this. You can be numbers focused, and numbers are important. You know, we are, you know, we're board controlled, so it's good to go back to our board and say, hey, look, this is our numbers. We're doing great. But to hear stories like the Millimans who moved from Portland, or the Q Kindles who moved from Orlando, and to see them in downtown, you know, they might be downstairs at the coffee shop right now because they're here almost every morning.
Right.
And to see them plug into the community and finding their home, that's been one of the greatest unforeseen benefits of myself, is, you know, to one of my friends to say, hey, I saw Joe and Anna out at the park the other day, and I had a conversation with them, and I knew them because of the, you know, you talk about them, and it was just, it's amazing to see people connect.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So Lawrence, for example, doing pretty well. The downtown core is in great condition and beautiful historic architecture, but still you guys wanted to kind of ramp up and expand the economic basis right here.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the other part of the program was, you know, we had this amazing community and this amazing space like you're talking about of, you know, the downtown areas in Florence and even Tuscumbia and Sheffield, and just amazing community here. But we had people visit and they would say, I didn't know this place existed, you know. They're like, I might have heard Muscle Shoals and Lynyrd Skynyrd's song, you know, I might have heard it in about having the Swampers, but I didn't know that that was a real place. I kind of just thought it was a line in a song, you know. So it's great for people, you know, that's part of the program was brand awareness, was to get our name out there to say, hey, we're a real place that you really will love. And that part of the program has done its job. We are seeing a ton of people move in that are outside of the program, you know. I think housing sales is one of the ways to look at that. Our rental market's hot. All of our housing markets are super hot right now.
How much would it average be for a rental?
Oh, I think that the last, I think I the last I looked was a two-bed apartment rental. Honestly, I think the estimated cost was about $600 to $650, and that was for like a two-bed, and that was probably even on the higher end than some of them. So extremely affordable cost of living. That's
How about housing? Single family.
Single family housing. So our numbers have been in flux here lately because of the housing market being crazy. I think the last number I concretely had was probably around $138,000. Basically a single family house. You know, kind of your typical, we have a lot of three bed, two baths is kind of the typical around here. Of course, you're going to have your more and your less, but it's kind of typical. I would honestly guess that that number is going to be around $150,000 now, about $150,000 is probably more realistic right now with the way the market is, but
so,
it's
so
still
how about
awesome.
An upper end house, say a 4 or 5 bedroom house on acreage, you know,
yeah,
would something like that start out?
I think, you know, I'll be honest with you that we had one of our most expensive houses listed recently, and it was, I mean, more like, you know, 15 bed, I think, something absolutely like
mansion.
Just a mansion that someone built on some acres or something, and now that was on up there in the millions, of course, just because of what it was, and I think it sat on probably acres and acres of land, but the house that you're talking about that sits on, you know, a good piece of land and has a little bit more, I would probably say about $350,000 to $400,000, and that might even be, you know, that's probably for a nicer one too, that's, you know, been redone and that kind of stuff.
So you could get acreage with a barn and everything.
Absolutely, that's part of what we wanted to offer, you know. There's a lot of other programs like ours out there that they're doing great work, and they're absolutely amazing programs too, but we everyone asks about competition, and they say, you know, do you see those as competition for your program? And you know,
how would it be competition?
I honestly not really. People are saying, you know, well, they might be applying, you know, Tulsa's one, that Tulsa has a great program going on, Northwest Arkansas, Topeka, Vermont, the state had one.
They're doing the same financial incentive too, right?
Yes.
Some are even more, right?
Yeah, there's a, I can't.
I think one was like 50,000.
But yeah, there's a few that are doing more housing. So they're doing down payments, and you know, they'll reimburse for a down payment on a house, and that's been restructured for a few programs, and it's been creative and cool to see their creative ways to make a program that fits for, you know, their community and what they can offer.
Since you guys were one of the first to do this pre-COVID, how has your program evolved and morphed and changed?
So we, I think just the way that we do things has changed so much in that, you know, for the beginning, we didn't, you know, we were getting a steady amount of applications, but it wasn't just absolutely crazy. Still a lot of interest and, you know, it was generating a lot. But we expected, you know, year one, we did 10 people. We expected to increase it for year two, and we did. We increased it up to 25. And I think since last that you talked with Kevin, we've actually went back to our board, kind of told them that we had basically kind of depleted some of that funding and that our application count was still going up. So our board made the decision to double our funding. So we now have $500,000 for the year two of the program, and we're seeking, that's about 50 people is kind of what. So in that instance, we have dramatically increased just the number of people that we're trying to bring in. But also just, you know, we get so many applications, and we try to interview as many people as possible because we know that that's where the connection is with people, you know, face-to-face, virtually, of course, because they're video interviews. That's where we can really connect to someone and make sure that they understand, you know, what the Shoals has to offer. We don't want to bring people in that don't, you know, that might be expecting, you know, public transit with a subway they can hop on. We don't have that, but we do offer a lot of other good things. So we just make sure that people really would be feel at home here in the Shoals.
I would think that some people are looking for that alternative to urban living.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen a lot of, we talked to a few people that during the pandemic, you know, I think of one couple we talked to that they were in New York, and, you know, we talked to them in June, and that was, you know, right in the midst of everything, and hearing their, you know, their stories of just, you know, we can't go anywhere. And then we've had a few people that have moved, you know, kind of safely, of course, but within the pandemic, and they'll talk about the difference, you know, and that it's here, and that, you know, wear masks and all of that kind of stuff, and that it's real. But at the same time, you know, you go out to one of our parks and it's not crowded because one, we have so many, so you can pick and choose. But then two, we have smaller populations, so it's not as densely populated.
What is the collective population of the Shoals region?
It's about 150,000. So that's about our last numbers that we have.
And Florence is how many?
Florence is about 40,000.
So Tuscumbia?
They're going to be probably around 15 or 20 each for the smaller cities. Muscle Shoals population is going up, so I don't know that number off the top of my head. Florence is still our biggest city at 40,000.
Interesting. And then a word picture where we are on planet Earth. I mean, it's like an hour to Huntsville, right?
Yes, yeah.
And it's Birmingham, a little.
Birmingham's about 2 hours. Okay. So 2 hours to Birmingham, 2 hours to Nashville, about 3 hours to Memphis, 4 hour drive to Atlanta. But we do have the boutique air flight that will fly to Atlanta, as well as Pensacola, Florida, and Nashville. So,
and how about Chattanooga? How far to Chattanooga?
Chattanooga is about 3 hours, maybe three and a half on a bad day. That's a trip for myself and love.
And how about to the Great Smoky Mountains?
Oh, the Great Smoky Mountains is about 6 hours away. Five for some people, but 5 to 6 hours away, not far at all.
But it is interesting how many places you could go in one day.
Absolutely.
At the most on the road.
Because the beach as well, you know, southern Alabama down at the Orange Beach and Gulf Shores.
How far is it?
About 6 hours too. So that's one of the great things about here is, you know, I think that for myself personally, 6 hours, maybe 10 is about my driving limit. I'm like, that's about it for me. But the amount of places that you can go living here in that range, it's amazing.
And the diversity of environment.
Absolutely.
That's cool. So how do you have a large stable of houses available, or is it pretty tight?
It's a tight market right now. I think that historically this is around the time, spring into summer is around the time where a lot of our houses will come on the market. Kids get out of school, so they start move. You know, parents start listing their houses. So we're getting a little bit more, but it is a tight market right now. But there's a lot of new development going on and a lot of other things happening too.
So you have open land around that's developable.
Absolutely. Muscle Shoals right now is probably one of the fastest growing cities. There's a lot of, they're doing a lot
in
of
Alabama
in the Shoals area. In the Shoals area, especially, a lot of residential housing is being built over there, and that's been happening for probably about five years, I would say, maybe a little bit less. But a lot of residential housing going up over there.
And a moment about some of the most fascinating business startups or relocations that have happened here as a result of the program.
So as far as businesses, you know, a lot of them bring their remote jobs, so they are kind of still just focusing on their jobs. And you know, even though it's work from home, that it still takes up a ton of their time. But I will say that, you know, we have a few people who I know have started podcasts on the side. You know, they do some podcasting, they do some motivational type speaking. We have a husband and wife couple. They do singer-songwriter on the side. They're singer-songwriters, but they're kind of do it with a motivational speaking aspect to it as well. So they're excited for things to kind of lighten up with COVID so that events start happening so they can get back out and do a little bit more with that. I would say that there was a singer-songwriter has been a big part of it for people to do that on the side.
Because they can do it anywhere, right?
They can do it anywhere. You know, a lot of, we've talked to even some musicians that have moved with, you know, with and outside the program, that especially before COVID, you could kind of do it anywhere. And during COVID, you had to. So they've adjusted and they're, you know, reconsidering where they are, whether that be Nashville or LA or any of those cities, they're even reconsidering.
And in the American music idiom, historically, that's one of my mind-blowing discoveries, is how just as much as Nashville or Memphis, this place is the mothership, the incubator, historically, of incredible musicians. Percy Sledge, just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, which is right nearby. Mm-hmm. It's in Tuscumbia?
It's in Tuscumbia, yeah.
Tell us about that. That's a major facility.
It is. It's a stunning building with some land near it so that they can do some concerts and stuff. It's absolutely amazing.
So are they planning this summer to do some outdoor concert?
I think potentially. I know that recently, you know, one of our local hospitals did a little, of course, socially distanced and that kind of stuff, but mm-hmm. a movie night out there. So it was actually Helen Keller Hospital was celebrating their 100th anniversary of being open. So, you know, they were celebrating 100 years of heroes, and they had a little event out there with some food trucks and that kind of stuff for a family-friendly event. So, they're planning, you know, they're a great asset of the community to plan some events out there. But the history here is so rich.
Just W.C. Handy, who lived down the street.
Literally just down the street.
Yeah.
And his home's still there. And, you know, you pass it and you think, oh, this is a lot more history than you think it is. You know, I think that myself personally recently, I lived in Florence my whole life, and I recently moved to Muscle Shoals, and, you know, it wasn't a big deal. You know, it's just we're a region. I knew Muscle Shoals like the back of my hand already. Mm-hmm. But that means that I now drive across our bridge every day, right? Because I work in Florence, live in Muscle Shoals, I drive across the bridge. And I'll often take Wilson Dam, one of, you know, our dam in the area. That's a TVA dam. And there was one day that I drove across there and I saw it was a sunny day, and you're talking water was just sparkling. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's that springtime where we're getting there and it's just everything's going so well. And, you know, I just thought about the history. You know, you think about TVA's history, think about FDR, you think about all these other things, which then leads to think of the music history. And you think of how many people have, you know, drove across this dam that, you know, that are well known across the world. And it truly is just something that I think that we have begun to celebrate even more. You know, we always have celebrated with all the festivals and everything. I think that the Muscle Shoals documentary that came out in 2013.
So cool.
Such a great documentary.
And that was a game changer for me. It really nailed the story big time.
It did.
And you can get that on Netflix?
You used to be able to do Netflix. Uh-huh. I know for sure that it was on YouTube. So I do know that that is a way to get to
I have my own copy.
Yes. Or you can get your own copy. There's plenty of them out there. I think that that was a little bit of a game changer for our community. I'll be honest with you.
Yep.
I mean, I remember I was in high school or elementary, or not elementary, but middle school at the time probably. I remember having a showing for it, you know, and just watching it. And it being a big deal and watching it, not knowing that all this history was here. So I think that that was a game changer for us to really start saying, hey, we do have all this cool stuff. Let's make some new stuff.
Yeah.
Let's build on this.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. So for further information to learn about your world and about picking up $10,000 for moving here.
Yeah. So for the program, it's remoteshoals.com. That's where the application process is. And then for anything else, you can search the Shoals EDA or the Shoals Economic Development Authority on all social platforms. And my name is Mackenzie Cottles.
Mackenzie, what a pleasure. What a great morning. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Shoals region in Alabama. We'll see you here.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolff, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program,
you've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to, and if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.